Okay. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Would you please join me for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you. May we have a roll call, please, Madam Clerk?
Sure.
All right.
Mayor Scott.
Present.
Assemblymember Hoffman?
Here.
Vic?
Here.
Schnabel?
Here.
Waterman is absent this evening. Smith?
Here.
Lapp?
Here.
Madam Mayor, you have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Yes?
Are we expecting Joanne to call in this evening?
We are not.
I'd make a motion to excuse her.
Okay. A motion has been made to excuse Assemblymember Waterman. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? Okay. All those in favor, signal by raising your right hand. Passes unanimously. Thank you very much. And there should be a motion to approve the assembly agenda and consent agenda.
I move to approve the assembly agenda and consent agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
And seconded. Discussion. I would suggest that you add to under other new business, the manager's resignation as an item, and perhaps item, where would you like to put that? Right before mayoral appointments, perhaps, and as a second item, transition plan, please, to that agenda.
Yes. Make a motion to put both those on the agenda.
Thank you. So you're amending the motion to approve the agenda, correct? Okay. Is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
Okay. Shall we vote on that amendment, please? All those in favor of the amendment, signal by raising your right hand. Thank you. Pass. To the main motion to approve the agenda as amended. No more discussion. All those in favor of that motion, signal by raising your right hand. Thank you. All right. Down to public comments. Any topics not scheduled for a public hearing, but I want to remind the audience that all resolutions, you have an opportunity to speak before every resolution. Yes, please come forward so you can be properly recorded and identified.
My name is Burrell Sheldon, representing Tom Hall and Community Waste Solutions. I just want to give you a little bit of an update about what's been going on. Community Waste Solutions met with Joyner Engineering yesterday to identify components of a staged plan to address the landfill compliance challenges. We expect to provide a plan to the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation by late April and be implementing that plan this summer. We look forward to getting the landfill back in compliance with state regulation. Since last December, the Assembly and Community Waste Solutions have discussed a range of issues that affect our company's financials. Purchasing buffer property from the borough, a process that we hope to conclude by mid-May. Requesting negotiation of a new franchise for townsite refuse collection and disposal. Our intention to finance landfill upgrades through the Southeast Alaska Revolving Loan Fund. And continuing our relationship to handle for a fee the borough's biosolids. All these issues remain important and we hope on the table. In April and May, CWS will be implementing a trial program of commingling recycling. If our trial is successful, the mixed, unsorted recycling of aluminum, tin cans, paper, boxboard, corrugated cardboard, and all numbered plastics 1 through 7 will become a routine part of our business strategy. It's a very exciting development as recyclables are over 50% of the local waste stream. The Haynes Chamber of Commerce and Community Waste Solutions are both on record requesting borough funding of some aspect of the community's waste management. One visionary action that the borough could take is to A, negotiate a special rate with Alaska Marine Lines for Haynes recyclables crossing the borough dock, and B, fund all or a portion of the freight for locally generated recycling freight costs. Regardless of who ships the material, public funds put towards the southbound freight would make recycling even more popular and could dramatically reduce the garbage output of the community. This summer, the company will begin implementing a revised overall operational plan, and of course it will be approved, or it will definitely have the scrutiny of the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. Our direction is towards greater environmental security. Generally, the disposal of construction and demolition waste and a greatly restricted category of inert wastes, along with the land application of Class B compost, which is certified under Rule 503 of the EPA statutes, would continue at the CWS landfill. Lastly, we're about to get underway with our composting trial, which includes 4 to 5 cubic yards of biosolids from the waste treatment plant, which CWS accepted free of charge. The structure of the material is very different from when we composted municipal solid waste from the back of the truck. This trial will help CWS establish the requirements for creating compost as a value-added, job-producing product. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sheldon. May we have a copy of your statement? Thank you. You'll hand it to the clerk. Appreciate it. Anybody else in the audience like to speak at this time? Okay. All right. Moving on to Mayor's comments and report, I have invited several important people tonight to speak in this portion of the meeting. I'd like to start with former Mayor Jan Hill talking to us about Southeast Conference. Thank you for coming, Jan. And I know you're meeting hopping tonight, so whatever time you can give us, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I don't know how much you all know about Southeast Conference, and we started our week off with a board meeting and a test. Earlier this afternoon, I was determined to give you a test, but I've decided I'm not going to.
Thank you.
Because I have all the answers. So, Southeast Conference was formed in 1958. I don't know how many of you know it was that old. And the first major initiative that we supported, I'm sure most of us in the room know, was the Alaska Marine Highway System. That was the big jumping off point. The mission of Southeast Conference is regional economic development. We now have 181 members. We are funded as the state ARDR through the state and through our membership dues. And in case you don't know what ARDR means, it's Alaska Regional Development Organization. So I think you are getting the theme here, regional development throughout everything that we do. We just passed a resolution at this past meeting to get a gaming permit so that we can do raffles and other fundraising things, some of which we've been doing and didn't realize that they needed a gaming permit for our scholarship program. Last year, we funded 20 scholarships to Southeast Alaska students. And these do not have to be college students, but they do need to be Southeast students. Two of those got work and didn't go on to the training, so they returned their scholarships. But I think an organization of this size funding 20 scholarships, and they were in about the $1,500 range. I think that was a very good showing. We, any community in Southeast can be a member of Southeast Conference. Businesses can be members. We have many businesses that are members. The Haines Chamber of Commerce is a member. And individuals can also be members and have all the voting rights and the rights to run for the board or serve on any committee. that leads me into most of our business is done through our committees. Our committees are very active, and anybody that comes to any of our conferences can go to any committee meeting that you want. You're not assigned a committee. I happen to be on the Health and Education Committee, and I chair the Fisheries Committee, which we just reactivated, and I will speak to that in just a moment. But this time, our committees and the attendance at the conference was so great that a lot of the committee meetings had to be moved from the little breakout rooms in Centennial Hall into corners of the ballroom because there were too many people to fit in those small rooms. And if you've ever attended a conference or you know the rooms that I'm speaking of, they can hold a good number of people. The committees include tourism, which is right now not real active. We have no huge tourism initiatives or issues at hand. The Timber Committee is very active, and they actually presented a DVD video titled "This Is My Office," and if we had more time, I would show it here because I think we all need to see it. I did get to bring a copy home, and it is filmed in the woods of people working in the woods, and it is their office, and it is an outstanding video, and I kudos to the people that put that together. The Mining Committee, as you can imagine, is very active now. The chair of that committee is Mike, and I apologize, I've forgotten his last name, but he is also coordinating the University of Alaska Southeast Mining Training Program, and there is training available, and we have Haynes people already working in the mines, but their potential for more is out there. So if you know of anybody that wants to have access to this training, I can put them in touch with Mike quickly, and he is excited. His last class was full. They announced the class, and 2.5 days later, he had to close enrollment. It was so popular, and they're doing a very good job. The Health and Education Committee is also quite active. We work on mostly training issues for people that want to get into some of the economic development programs that we try to support, and so we're pretty active. The newly reactivated Fisheries Committee that I spoke of earlier, I don't think I was thinking, because the meeting before this, we were establishing committees and committee chairs and who was going to do what, and we were going through all the committees, and I just, why don't we have a Fisheries Committee? And I was informed we do have a Fisheries Committee, it just isn't active, and nobody wants to chair it. In my wisdom, I raised my hand and said, we need a Fisheries Committee. We are Southeast Alaska. We are fishing communities. So we now have a Fisheries Committee, very popular. This past meeting, we joined with the Economic Development Committee and met as one body because many of our issues were overlapping, and we could see quickly that people were going to have to meeting hop between breakout rooms to get to both of them. So we met together. Fisheries is complicated because we have commercial fishing, we have subsistence fishing, and in those groups we have, you know, gill netters, trollers, trawlers, seiners. It's just a huge bucket of worms that we've opened, but it'll be exciting to get through it. I know that Assemblyman Lapp is going to speak to his time at the conference, so I will just briefly say that the second day was a full day of energy. Robert Venables did an outstanding job of coordinating the speakers and the program for the whole agenda and pulling it off, keeping things going in a timely manner. He also set up a meeting for Mr. Lapp and I to meet with the Alaska Energy Authority folks, which was also very, very helpful, and he's good at coordinating those kinds of things. Wednesday, one of the highlights was our lecture speaker was Congressman Young, and if you've ever attended a session with him, you know that he is energetic and adamant about his positions, and he never loses people's attention. So it was very exciting to have him there. It was not on the screen. He was there. He had lunch with us. And he stayed a little while after we were done to answer some questions and just visit with people. Something that he really likes to do. We also had a presentation from Doug Ward from Ketchikan with regard to the maritime industry workforce. There is also a lot of training available for those kinds of interested people. And we can put them in touch with training in that regard also. The Ketchikan Indian community has just recently opened their new vocational training center, and I have several of these packets that I'm going to take to the school to make sure that they have them, but I can also leave one, you know, for you to look through. It's a beautiful facility. They're just getting started, but they've had great success already in their enrollment numbers. So that's exciting to have a training facility, and it's the same but different than AvTech up in Seward. And the biggest difference is it's in our region, so it's closer to go to. So that was an exciting new thing that came about. And I could talk for hours. This is the packet, but I won't do that. I'll just move on to probably the most fun thing that we're doing, and that is our Lemonade Day. And this is our effort to encourage entrepreneurship in our young people. And this little backpack, I have 30 of these. I expect to have them all gone very soon. It has two workbooks in it. One is for the student, the entrepreneur workbook, and one is the Caring Adult Guide. This is a nationwide program, and what we are encouraging is lemonade stands everywhere. And I want to see 30 of them in Haines. And here's the reason I think we can do that. Pelican has 17 kids in their school. There are going to be 17 lemonade stands on the boardwalk in Pelican on May 6th. So I think that we should be able to do 30. The workbook gives you all the information you need. And what it does is teaches young people how to start a business. It teaches you from the very beginning, the planning, and how to find the financing, which means they have to find sponsors. So people are going to be being asked to be sponsors. They need to find a location for their lemonade stand. We're encouraging businesses to allow the young people to put their stands near their business, perhaps. And you can do a lot of the information or the sharing online at lemonadeday.org, I think it is. But you can order T-shirts if you want to wear Lemonhead T-shirts. You can wear that. You can order a Lemonhead. You can order all kinds of things. But it teaches about budget and how to put it all together and make it work. At the end of it, and there are reporting requirements so that we know how well the program worked, but at the end of the Lemonade Day, the kids get to keep all the money that they make, but they are encouraged to put some in savings and to donate some to any whatever their favorite cause is for a donation. So in Anchorage last year, I can't remember the number of stands they had, but the kids donated over $3,000 to one of their soup kitchens for the homeless. So it's a worthwhile program. I intend to touch bases with the school here at Mosquito Lake and in Clequon, and Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Scout programs locally to see if we can get this going. There are also at least three groups of young people that have had lemonade stands on their own. Two of them are on the road that I go home on. And, you know, you can't resist. If a kid is out there selling lemonade, you buy it. So get ready for lemonade on May 6th. That is the Lemonade Day. We realize there could be still snow around, but it'll still be Lemonade Day, and we're going to hope for sunshine. And if you know any young people that would be interested in this, it just takes a young person and an adult, or a caring older person, teenager. I do have 5 kits for our high school age students. And if we run out of the 30 that I brought home with me from the conference, I can get more very quickly. So I think it'll be an exciting program. It should be a lot of fun. And it will teach our kids something about going into business and being business people. So those are the highlights from the Southeast Conference mid-session. And I, again, one last thing. The other thing that we do that's so critical for the mid-session summit is we get to meet with our legislators. We had a legislative panel during one of our lunches, and many of us make appointments to go up on the Hill to meet with the elected officials in Juneau while we're in these sessions. So very worthwhile time. I think we had some pretty late days. The closing of the session of the Southeast Conference Board met with the Juneau Economic Development Council Board of Directors. It was the first time in history those two groups had met. It was a good meeting, and we expect to have many more. We we couldn't do everything we wanted to do in the 2 hours that we had allowed ourselves. And by that time, at the end of a four-day conference, you're pretty tired and brain dead. So, again, I think that this is an exciting group to be involved with. And this year I'm serving as the past president and helping the new president and also working with the incoming president, who's Tim Rooney from Wrangell, will be the president after September. So give me a call if you have any questions or if you want a lemonade kit, we can set you up. And I can also get answers, specific answers for the Lemonade Day program if you have any. I could have brought a whole bunch more of information, but I think that would just be too much. So give me a call if you have any questions about any of this. If you want to look at any of the materials, I have it. It's probably with me at my shop, and I'm pretty much there. So thank you very much. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them now.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you for launching Lemonade Day in Haines. We needed a local sponsor, and you stepped right up. Steve.
I do have a question. Did you say those packages are for high school students?
I have five that are, I brought home 25 youth ones and five high school age. I can get as many as I want.
Okay.
But we just weren't sure what the
so
breakout
two age groups, I guess.
We have two age groups. But ultimately, a high school student could work with a young person on theirs.
Yeah. I have a list in my head.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we'll wait. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Jerry, what would you like to add about Southeast Conference? You're
okay,
a
well,
lemonade?
Yeah, no, I didn't get any of that. Jan took them all, the ones that were left. But, I thought it was a very informative meeting. I enjoyed going to it. I think that if we send someone in the future, that we should also make arrangements to meet with the legislators on the Hill, which we didn't do this time, but Stephanie wasn't able to go, and so I went for 2 days,
mm-hmm.
was all that I was there for. But I also got to meet with all the mayors, and I found that very informative. There were several discussions. There was one on PERS and what's happening in PERS and how the state handles PERS that I found very interesting, because if you, one of the items that they were discussing is municipalities were getting bills from PERS for positions that they had eliminated.
Mm.
And the reason for that, from the discussion, was that if you downsize and you get rid of a section or a, if you have a job description and there's two people in that job description and you get rid of that section, then the PERS will keep billing you for that.
Mm.
You could get rid of one person and they wouldn't, but if you eliminate that section, then they can bill you for it. And I found that interesting because I didn't know anything about that that was going on. And that's one way of them trying to catch up and from their deficit. And then also in the mayor's meeting we discussed, there was a lot of discussion about the coastal zone management. And there were a few things in there, but I won't go on to that, that I didn't know about coastal zone management and probably why some of the legislators are hesitating on it and things like that. So that's some of the things that I learned in the mayor's meeting, and then it was nice to see some old faces. But it was really informative, and then getting in touch with other communities and what they're going through. And then I think one of the big things, all day Tuesday, I sat in energy meetings, and it was about PERP or that. The draft plan of HERP, which is a regional energy resource plan, and found that there was a lot of, after the panel gave their presentation of the plan there was a lot of discussion in a lot of communities that were kind of dissatisfied with the state kind of the lease, and there was an awful lot of discussion on that, and that's why when I was calling in and we were talking about Stephanie's letter. Her letter was pretty much right on with what some of the concerns were about it. And one other thing, like Skagway had a one hydro project plan, and they actually used the draft plan to kind of say no to the project agencies, and that's what the plan. The plan wasn't designed for that. It's supposed to be a directional plan, and it's fluid, and it can be changed and stuff. So that was very informative. Then I also attended the part of the tourism committee meeting, and I got to attend the transportation and solid waste, and that was very interesting. They gave a presentation for things called SEWA that is just, and I know what it means, the Southeast
Regional Solid Waste Authority.
Solid Waste Authority. Mm-hmm. And they ship all of their solid waste through Rainier, and I think they're trying to gather other communities to kind of go in with them. It's a Southeast thing, and I had heard about this actually years ago, too. So there was good discussion about that. And then I did get to meet with AEA, and AEA, the discussion with them, and Jan sat in on it, and so did Ned. And basically, their recommendation is that before we, I mean, we should consider it a partnership, but before we do, we need to learn more about the rate schedules, how they're set, and things like this. And they said they could help set up a meeting with RAPA, which is out of Anchorage, and they could, and they would be very, give us a lot of information. And this is something that if we wanted to follow through, we could do. Or we could also meet with Bob Grimm and get a lot of the information. But there are benefits to us partnering with them, and so we need to weigh the benefits and look at that. But there are some concerns out there. Some people might look at a partnership with a utility company as, well, the municipality does that. Are they going to use it in the future, maybe use it for collecting more money or something like that? So there are some community members in the community that have concerns about partnerships. So that, I mean, all that stuff's got to be looked at. So, but basically, I think it was worthwhile going to, but I think we do need to set up meetings with legislatures. We send someone down there again.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Jerry? I imagine that you'll pursue the AEA's recommendations in Commerce Committee. So that's where you're taking
it. Yeah, I can give some more on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yes. You commented on the Coastal Zone Management Program and said that you got an understanding of why it may not be popular. And I'm curious about that.
Okay, and these are just comments that I heard, and it was especially from some mayor. And I mean, it was part of it was, why would you want more bureaucracy? Because you can handle, I mean, you can go through the permitting process and stuff for different projects and stuff. And what a lot of the mayors were worried about was, okay, the way it was worded before, the Coastal Zone Management Plan was one person could stop a project. And that was the biggest concern with it. Now, whether the new language has that in there or not is no one really said or knows, as far as I know. But that was one of the big concerns. And so a lot of them are kind of saying, well, maybe we don't need it. Maybe we don't need that layer of bureaucracy, because why do you need more government created to take care of what the other governments are doing already? So you just be creating
another agency.
And it's a cost to the state. But it is a tool for people, for groups, or even a single individual to hold up the project. So that was the big concern.
Thank you. Any other questions for Jerry? Okay, and I have invited John Hagen to speak to you about something that I am involved in, not as mayor, but personally, and he's going to explain to you an upcoming event and project. John, thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. On Monday, April 2nd, 2012, the Haynesboro Public Library will continue their Community Matters forums with a guest lecturer, A.W. Bill Hall from the University of Alaska Cooperative Extension. Hall will share his experiences in creating a process for dialogue at the local level and engage participants in demonstration dialogue. And that event will start at 6:30 on Monday. The demonstration dialogue is meant to talk about the process of communication and to give participants a chance to practice those skills of dialogue. And prior to that, the community event, Bill will meet with a core group of participants to talk about convening, designing, and facilitating community dialogue. And we'll be having up to 10 participants, many of whom were part of the Community Matters Forums last year, participating in that. Bill Hall is a lifelong Alaskan from Cordovia, and he's fished for salmon for over 30 years. He worked for the Alaska Legislature, the Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agricultural Bank, and presently is with the UAF Cooperative Extension Service and an engagement, and he's an engagement and outreach coordinator. And for the past 6 years, he served on the board of the Alaska Common Ground as a lead on a project funded by the Kettering Foundation to create centers for civic life and communities across the state. His work is now focused on helping community libraries to form programs in civic dialogue by providing organizational training and assistance. The event follows Community Matters Forums from last year and is made possible through an Institute of Museum and Library Services Enhancement Grant and a collaboration with the Chilkoot Indian Association at the Haynesboro Public Library.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm looking forward to that. And all I have to add is we have a card to recognize Joan Carlson's retirement. After 11 years with the Chamber of Commerce, she is retiring with her husband to leave for Connecticut, where she will be taking care of relatives. And we will miss her, and we appreciate her service to the community. So, moving on to public hearings, we have Ordinance 1203-283. It's the first hearing of the Ordinance of the Haynesboro Assembly to amend the Port of Haynes Terminal Tariff Number 3 to simplify calculation of dockage fees at the Port Chilkoot Dock. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to comment, speak to this ordinance? Okay, hearing none, it comes back to the Assembly for a motion to advance the ordinance to a second public hearing. Is there a motion?
I'll move to advance Ordinance 1203-283 to a second public hearing on 4-10-12.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right, discussion? Yes.
Thank you. Madam Chair, and I did want to point out that there is a typo on page 2 of 2. In the spread little table there, that's a LOA. Wait till everybody's there. But, the charge for the smallest vessels from 0 to 149 feet. Should read 75 cents instead of 95 cents.
Oh,
that was
good.
A computational error there. And I would just add that the reason for this ordinance was that when the ordinance that amended the tariff was adopted, the rate increases were only supposed to apply to Port Chilkoot Dock. And that was not the effect of the ordinance that increased the dockage and wharfage fees at Lutac Dock. So it was stated at the time that that was the intent of the ordinance several times, and also in the manager's memo. So this resets the rates for the cruise ships and other vessels taking call at the Port Chilcoot dock back to the rate that was in effect prior to the tariff adjustment for the taxes.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. Is there any more discussion? Deborah?
I'm just raising the question of the efficacy of putting tariffs into an ordinance. And I'm happy to hear from staff if this is truly what we want to be doing, because it really seems to me that our ordinance should just reference a rate schedule, which then we can change at will rather than going through this whole process of public hearing.
Good point. Thank you. Yes.
The borough is required to adopt tariffs through a non-code ordinance process. I think there are some inconsistencies in existing code, because I think that maybe it was the water rates that are in code to be set by resolution. But according to our attorneys, that is not an appropriate mechanism for adopting tariff or making adjustments in tariff. It's not part of the code, but it's like the budget ordinance. Mm-hmm. It's a non-code ordinance, and that is the mechanism that should be used to adopt fees in a similar way that we approve the code. And the idea for that is that it is a public interest, what we the borough charge for services, and as you recall, I think from the LUTAC discussion, that generated a fair amount of public interest, and so I think that it's an appropriate mechanism. I think it's a legal requirement, and but I just wanted to clarify that it's not part of our code.
And I do say it doesn't, yeah. Shall not become part of,
yeah,
the
code. And I think that we do have, that's part of our process, is to take out whatever is in code, agree with you, all references to fees, fines, should not be part of the code. And I think that was what you're suggesting.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for the clarification. Are you ready to vote on the motion to advance this ordinance to the second public hearing?
Great.
Looks like it. Okay, all those in favor, signal by raising your right hand. Unanimous. Thank you very much. And Mr. Ernest, you have a manager's report. Okay. Not asterisk, I see. Okay.
Well, thank you, Your Honor, and Assembly, and we do have, obviously, the agenda was amended, but in case someone didn't get the memo, I have submitted my intent or resignation, and the first question that's been asked is why, and I just wanted to really just clarify and say that. I fully intended to retire in 2013, and I just felt that I really wanted to spend more time with family. So I'm just accelerating that retirement date of a year. And I wanted to say how much I have enjoyed and continue to enjoy serving all of you and the community. It's been an honor and a privilege. This is a great community, and it has so much to offer, and I think a lot to look forward to in the future. And I very much cherish the opportunity to be part of it. So we'll talk more about transition. I have some ideas that I wanted to share with you. So moving on to other topics here, just to touch on a few. I would be happy to address or answer any questions that the Assembly may have. We did get an email today, this morning, from the Division of Homeland Security regarding the question of suspension of the disaster declaration, which I've distributed to the Assembly. So that will be a separate topic, but I did want to mention that that information just came in today.
Okay. Are there any questions from the manager on the substance of his report? Okay. Moving on to the tourism director's report on Backroads Alaska Cruise Lines meetings, March 8th. Tanya Carlson, thank you very much.
Thank you. So we've been working on Backroads Alaska. The whole idea came up about 2 years ago from Bart Henderson here in the community, Chilkat Guides, and John Dunlap out of Sitka with Allen Marine Tours. They were trying to come up with a way to get more cruise traffic to our smaller communities, or what's traditionally known as second-tier ports. And so they came up with this idea that we've kind of called Backroads Alaska and kept with the name, just as a way to partner up with other communities and show that we are valuable cruise ports. We're not second-tier, as they like to call us, or overfull ports. So we do have valuable assets to provide to their guests, and that's what we're trying to get across. So we banded together with Sitka, and Icy Street Point was also somewhat involved for a while. Unfortunately, they did pull out at the last minute, literally at the 11th hour. We did, however, go down to Miami and Seattle and met with each of the cruise lines. All of the lines we met with were Holland America, Princess, Carnival, Prestige, which includes Regent and Oceania, Royal Caribbean, which includes Celebrity and Azamara, as well as NCL. So we got all the big cruise lines, and we weren't sure what to expect. Part of the reason Icy Strait pulled out is because they didn't think that it was going to go anywhere. However, we were met with surprised, I think, interest in this concept. We sold it to them as a boutique cruise option, which tends to have a lot of clout these days. Our ports only being able to handle 1 to 2 ships at a time really offers the cruise lines and their guests an exclusive experience rather than having to go to a port with 5 other cruise ships with thousands of people in the port shoulder to shoulder. So it's a unique option, and I think what a lot of our guests say when they come here is the fact they respect and enjoy our community because we're more of what they imagine Alaska to be like when they come here, and rather than going to, you know, the overpopulated, overcrowded ports, they get to experience real Alaska. So that's what we're trying to get across to the cruise lines, and certainly not looking to replace the main cruise line or cruise ports. We can never do that, and we don't want to become those big cruise ports. We want to work with the cruise lines to develop our ports but keep what we have, which is very important. That's what makes us unique. And so we met with, I think, a lot of interest, a lot of surprised interest at that. We did, of course, give them each of these documents, which we weren't sure about creating to begin with, if this was really going to be important to them, and I think unanimously they very much appreciated it. It showed that we were very serious about what we were presenting. We had really thought this out to them. It includes all of the information that itinerary planners, port development people ask when they're trying to look at itineraries, new itineraries. So it includes all the questions they'll ask about our ports as well as shore excursions, which is a moneymaker for them. So they appreciated that. We're also working on a website right now that will be available just for the cruise lines, and another website in the future that will be for the general public. So it'll be an ongoing communication with each of the cruise lines. Overall, Princess and Norwegian were probably the top two that expressed genuine interest. Princess, there's the possibility, since they do longer cruises, they liked the opportunity to include Backroads ports with the mainline ports and in a 10 to 12 day itinerary out of California. So that worked very well for them. They're going to look at considering it kind of as a test the water scenario. During a beginning and end of season with one of their ships, hopefully. So the soonest we might see that is probably 2014. Norwegian, on the other hand, very much interested. We fit very well in their cruise scheme because they like the idea of new ports. Out of all the cruise lines, they tend to have the most unique cruise options all over the world. They always try the ports first. So we fit into their cruise scheme very well. They were excited about what we offered them, and they're bringing a third ship to Alaska in 2013. And it's doing one-way, 7-day one-ways up to Whittier and then back down. And they were already looking at Sitka, so we opened their eyes, of course, to Haines, and both people we met with there are coming through next month on a fan. So we'll be meeting with them again and really kind of showcasing Haines for them and see if we can squeeze into their 2013 itinerary, but certainly on the radar for 2014. So overall, it went extremely well, better than we could have expected. Tanya Ryu, my counterpart over in Sitka, stayed on the following week for Sea Trade, and they have a new dock there, so they were promoting their dock. But she said that it was really surprising. A lot of the execs that we had met with came up to her and, again, expressed interest and enthusiasm in what we presented them. And as well, Icy Strait Points went to Sea Trade, and a lot of those cruise executives talked to Icy Strait Point, and now they want to be back on board with us. So, yeah, it went very, very well. So, thank you.
Thank you, Tanya. That was very exciting. Yeah.
When you say we, Tanya, who was the entourage?
Our group consisted since John Dunlap and Bart Henderson were the creators. They both joined. Tanya joined us at the end. She couldn't come as early as the rest of us. And then Jason Gaffney with Alaska Mountain Guides, he also joined us. He has dealings with the cruise lines beyond Alaska because they have a product in Mexico and the Caribbean, so he deals with them and various people within the cruise lines a lot more than we do. So it was basically the five of us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think it's very exciting. Okay, any more questions for Tanya? All right. Moving on, is there Commerce Committee? We just have the minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yes. Those are the notes. I think I'm wrong. So the minutes are filed officially. I didn't want to bore you. Just to let you know.
Okay. All right. Okay. And finance and budget? Mr. Webb, anything? No? Personnel and labor relations. I guess Joanne is not here. Government affairs and services? Sir? Okay. Moving on to resolutions. Our first resolution, there are six of them tonight. So the first resolution is resolution 1203342, and it is a resolution authorizing the borough manager to enter into a construction contract with North Pacific Erectors for the vocational education building upgrades project for amount not to exceed $77,975. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak to this resolution? Okay, bringing it back to the assembly for adoption. Is there a motion to adopt?
I'll move to adopt resolution 1203342.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Damon. Is discussion? Any discussion? It was, yes, Jerry.
Yeah. This is the same construction outfit that built the library.
I do not know. Mr. Lemon? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that question. Any other comments from the assembly? Discussion? All right. Let's vote. Roll call vote, please.
This is to adopt resolution 1203342. Assemblymember Hoffman?
Yes.
Vic?
Yes.
Schnabel?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
And Lapp?
Yes.
It carried unanimously, 5-0.
Thank you. Resolution 1203343, a resolution of the Haynesboro Assembly calling for the support of Sea Trails, the Southeast Alaska Trail System, and its mission for an interconnected trail system that enhances economic development, transportation, and quality of life in Southeast Alaska. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak to this resolution? Okay. Bringing it back to the assembly for adoption. Is there a motion to adopt resolution 1203343?
I'll make that motion.
Been moved by Damon. Is there a second? And Steve has seconded it. And discussion. Deborah.
I just want to point out that the project, the Sea Trails program, has been very good to Haines, and that the improvements to the Mount Rapinski Trail to the tune of $28,000 in cash, plus a lot of volunteer efforts, have really improved that trail. It's a great program.
Thank you, Deborah. We did get a letter of support from the Haines Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee, who also voted unanimously in favor of this resolution. And they say, Sea Trails is an upstanding organization that provides a significant amount of trail service for our community. And you just answered the specifics. Thank you very much, because I was wondering about that. All right. Is there any more discussion? Ready for a vote? This will be a roll call vote, please.
This is to adopt Resolution 1203-343. Assemblymember Vick?
Yes.
Schnabel?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Lapp?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
It carried unanimously 5-0.
Thank you very much. Okay, Resolution 1203-344. This authorizes the borough manager to enter into a professional services agreement with Carson Dorn to prepare plans and specifications for the Barnett Water Tank Replacement Project for an amount not to exceed $46,600. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak to this resolution? Okay, back to the assembly. A motion to adopt is in order.
I move to adopt Resolution 1203-344.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so moved and seconded. Discussion? Yes, Mr. Ernst.
Very briefly, just wanted to mention that this project is in the funding, 70% of the funding is included in the governor's request for the capital budget for this year.
Okay, thank you. Norm?
I just have a question as to why on page 3 of this letter from Mr. Dorn says, we have not included project inspection and construction management in this budget. That sounds like a catch-all sentence for whatever else it's going to cost us, we can add it to this. So I guess the question I have, why is it not included, the project inspection and construction management costs? And just for a little history, the FAA water tank, which we now have, which I believe is about a 300,000-gallon tank, when that was constructed, the project inspection fees were not added to that until afterwards. We had a $608,000 grant. And before that project was completed, it cost $1.2 million. And we spent $75,000 more to have the project inspected by the same company that constructed it. So I want to know why the project inspection fee is not added to this total.
Okay. Thank you. And I think the manager.
It's not part of this scope. This is for design services, and the project hasn't been funded yet through the legislature. That will occur at a, hopefully, into the mill in May or June. This is a very, very critical project to move forward. What we're trying to do is advance the engineering so that the project can hopefully go out to bid. We'll hit the ground running. We'll come back to the assembly for those other services, which would be more part of the construction. This is part of the design. We're not there yet.
Exactly. Thank you. Anybody else care to comment? Yes, Mr. Smith.
Okay. Then the question I have is, who's going to pay for the project inspection and construction management of the budget? Is that a borough thing, or is that included in the 70% of the cost of the project that the legislature is going to appropriate funds for?
Okay.
Yeah, that's part of the construction component, it is eligible for DEC municipal matching grant. So it's part of the construction costs.
Okay. So we'll be looking at those costs in the future when they come to us.
Just like the construction bid would be funded later.
Exactly.
Or approved later.
Okay. ready for the vote, please? A roll call vote, please.
This is to adopt resolution 1203-344. Simply member Schnabel.
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Lapp?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
And Vick?
Yes.
Carried unanimously 5-0.
Okay, thank you. And we're at resolution 1203-345. And this is a resolution authorizing the borough manager to enter into a contract with Machine Works to provide janitorial services for the visitor center and public restrooms at the visitor center and Port Chilcoot Dock. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak to this resolution? Okay, thank you. Back to the assembly. A motion to adopt is in order.
I make a motion to adopt resolution 1203-345.
Thank you. Thanks for moving. Seconded. Discussion? Ready for the question? All right. Roll call vote, please.
This is to adopt resolution 1203-345. Assemblymember Smith.
Yes.
Lapp?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
Vick?
Yes.
And Schnabel?
Yes.
Carried unanimously 5-0.
Thank you. This is resolution 1203-346, authorizing the borough manager to dispose of, by public sealed bid auction, surplus borough equipment consisting of a Caterpillar 140H grader with wing blade and a Jeep and water wagon. Would anybody in the audience like to bid? No, I just like to comment on this resolution. Okay, back to the assembly. Is there a motion to adopt?
I'll move to adopt resolution 1203-346.
Thank you. Is there a second? Moved and seconded. Is there a discussion from the assembly? Yes, Norm.
I'd like through the chair to ask Mr. Lemke a question.
You bet. Mr. Lemke, are you available for questions?
That Jeep and water wagon, the same one that used to be at the Port Chilcoot Fire Hall?
You can probably clear me up on that. It's been on a loop deck for quite a while, but it is an old red Jeep and it has a water wagon behind it. And I think it years and years ago it did go from over here to out there.
We should probably find a spot in the museum.
Well, I tell you what, that's not to take up the time, but the minimum bid is kind of high on it. But as we started looking into it, some of the people in the shop over there, they were a really rare item. There was just a handful of a lot of Jeeps built, but very few water wagon Jeeps with the pumps and the whole thing. And that one's in really mechanically not really good shape, but it's going to draw some interest. Yeah, it should be in the museum. It's still got the civil defense decals and all that stuff on it.
Okay. Yes, I think, is there more discussion? Mr. Vick.
We've talked about putting things on eBay before, but that would certainly get a wider audience. You're talking, it really is what you're saying, collector's items.
There's people in town that are really pushing to get this surplused out, but. You're right. We should maybe. I'm going to have them bring it in and put it in the shop so we can really get a good look at it. It's pretty cool. It's only like 100,000 that we made, or less than 100,000 that we made.
Well, we can all go down and take a look. All right. Norm, we'd like to move on, but go ahead.
Okay, I just have to add this. Recently, a chicken McNugget that looked like George Washington auctioned off on eBay and it sold for $8,000. So,
Yes.
I need to one up that because there was a glob of glue even that looked like the Simpsons that sold for 40 pounds. Or 40
All right,
pounds.
We're straying from our topic. All right. Okay. You guys. All right. Do a roll call vote, please. Do you have something else?
No, I don't have any. But actually, it is related. But in a different way. We're talking about potential, the two things that the assembly must do one of them is to identify the method of disposal. And this is by, what was it, public?
By public sealed bid auction.
Yeah. Public sealed bid. It might be, if we are going to look at, and actually Brian and I had talked about it, potentially eBay option is maybe to add that to the agenda, or to the resolution.
That might be prudent.
Yeah, just to say or.
On, but I was thinking more in terms of this would get it to the spot where we could surplus it out in the sealed bid language and everything, but it might be prudent to put something in there that would allow us, if there's somebody in the world that's interested in looking into this a little further.
The manager recommends that you amend this resolution by adding or on eBay, I suppose, to the resolution. Would somebody in the assembly care to move in that direction?
You need that. I would make that motion. You need it added in the therefore be resolved area. Dispose of by public sealed bid or in the second whereas. Okay, then we'll put in the second whereas where it's by public sealed bid auction to the highest bidder or other methods.
Is that sufficient? Let me ask the manager. Manager, you said that the assembly had to identify the method of disposal. Is or other methods a method of disposal?
Well,
or would you? Go ahead.
Through the chair, I if you look at the methods that are identified in section 14.24.010, eBay is not identified in there, but you have public outcry auction to the highest bidder, public sealed bid auction to the highest bidder, best qualified proposer, so through a proposal process, and then the other two that follow that wouldn't be applicable. public outcry would be the closest I could think of, although that's defined, and I don't see a way to have a disposal through eBay, but maybe somebody else can weigh in on this.
Deborah.
Well, do we really believe that we can get more than $1,250 for it? Do we really believe that we'll get more than $25,000 for it?
Find them online, they'll kill them.
Well, so this
but they're in a little better shape than ours.
It's just one of those things that it's a little flag because that we have been provided the code under which we're trying to work, which you can see that this HBC 1424010 needs to be reworked, and I think we'd like to put it on our list of code that needs to be brought into the modern day. I mean, it doesn't provide for what we want to do. So that's just a note.
Okay. So I haven't heard a second to Assemblymember's Vic.
Second.
Well, all right. And now Deborah would probably add under discussion, if we could rewind for a minute. The discussion is that that amendment may be out of order because it doesn't conform to the language of the code.
Correct.
And so at this point in time, it would be inappropriate. Deborah.
And if I might clarify also, what caught my attention was if the thing is valued between $1,000 and $25,000, we can do it by resolution. If it's valued at more than $25,000, then we have to go to ordinance. I find all of this very cumbersome myself. But That's just what it says. My recommendation, I suppose, I'm not making a motion at this point, but just to see how you guys feel about it, my recommendation would be to just remove the Jeep from the list and fix this up and then put it back on when we get the code changed.
There you go.
All right.
Any other But we have a motion on the table, an amendment on the table that's been seconded. So we need to dispose of that. Yes, Mr.
If the motion's not in accordance with the code, then it certainly must be withdrawn.
Is that proper?
That's proper. The motion.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Well, I didn't mean to.
Okay. And Deborah.
Well, no, see, because it is in accordance with the motion, it's just that we don't want to be restricted. If we wanted to be restricted to public outcry, sealed bid, then we're okay. But the discussion has elevated us to thinking more about it. But I mean, I certainly don't want to damper anyone's enthusiasm for getting rid of the stuff. You know, but so I do whatever the administrator, the manager thinks is the proper thing to do.
Yes, Mr. Ernst, do you have a recommendation for us in our dilemma?
I do.
Yeah.
And then we can move on. I would. Okay. The resolution authorizes the borough manager to dispose of this personal property. It doesn't require that the property be disposed. So at this time, so I would leave the resolution as is. In the meantime, we could borough administration staff can research to see what potential value there is out there. I think we could also simultaneously bring back an ordinance that would expand the options and make the decision based on what our research is. But I would just go ahead.
Okay, I hear you. Thank
about
you.
This.
Jerry?
Well, if you left the wording the way it is by sealed bid and you found out that there's another market out there or something, couldn't you contact that market and put an advertisement there that you could put a sealed bid in on this, and then that way you take care of the whole thing?
That's true.
Okay.
All right. We have a resolution before you. I think we probably have discussed it. And ready for the question? Thank you.
This is to adopt resolution 1203-346. Assembly member Lapp?
Yes.
Assembly member Hoffman?
Yes.
And Vic?
Yes.
Snubble?
Yes.
And Smith?
No, I want to bid on it.
You can. You're voting no. Okay. Right. Four, it passes.
Yes. 4-1.
4-1.
Carry.
All right. Now, we have other new business. We added to the agenda the manager's. Pardon me? Oh, I'm sorry. Am I missing a resolution? I am. Anxious to get through these resolutions. So sorry. Okay. This is resolution 1203-347. This is a resolution accepting a planning grant in the amount of $9,000 from the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Safe Routes to Schools program and authorizing the borough manager to enter into a grant agreement with the department for this project. Is there anybody in the assembly, in the audience, sorry, who would like to speak to this? Tom.
Yeah, I was working on this a couple of years ago. It was called the Safe Routes to School program, and it seemed to have stalled out. So hopefully this grant will help move things forward, because there's been a lot of issues with biking and pedestrian access in this community, and we'd like to see them follow through on it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Anybody else? Back to the assembly for a motion to adopt.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution 1203-347. Discussion. Members of the assembly. Damon.
Quick question. Is this Jeremy Woodrow? From Hanson, is this
I don't know. I think so.
It is.
DJ. All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. Any other inquiries as to the lineage of the people in? Okay, roll call, please.
This is to adopt resolution 1203347. Assemblymember Hoffman.
Yes.
Vic?
Yes.
Schnabel?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
And Lau?
Yes.
You carried unanimously 5-0.
Okay. Under other new business, yes, Damon.
May I make a movement motion to make a movement?
Great, yes, yes, you can prevent
before
us from.
Before you make
the motion. Is there a second? It's been seconded. Okay, 5 minutes never seems to be long enough. So I will. 5 minutes, go.